Over the years, as I have done little repair or renovation jobs on houses, I have often thought that I would like to work with a good, knowledgeable carpenter to build a house. I want to do that so that I could understand how houses are designed and built, because I've done things and I've thought, oh, I wonder if I did that right. And I've watched my share of the do-it-yourself renovation shows on TV where the master carpenter comes in and says, this wasn't done right. And I thought, well, okay, I don't recognize that. I didn't do that, but I'd be afraid for him to come after me. So I want to be able to understand. That's why I would want to do that. How to do it right. How to do it the way we should do it. And that's my hope for us as a church, that we know how to do it right, that we are the body of Christ that God intends. We need to begin with understanding the design God intends for us. We're going to look at a passage that I dealt with back before Thanksgiving, but today we're going to look at it and think about it in light of God's intended design for us as a church. We are to be about the gospel, proclaiming the gospel. We need to understand God's intended design of the church. We're going to look at Galatians 1. We're going to read the first 10 verses. Galatians 1. Paul, an apostle, not sent from man, nor through the agency of man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, so that he might rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever. Amen. I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. We need to understand the design of the church. Understanding God's design begins with understanding his purpose for the church. His purpose for the church is to assist him in rescuing people. As Paul, God's messenger to the Gentiles, traveled on his missionary journeys, he would share the gospel of grace. And folks who wanted to get the church off his purpose then followed right behind him. And so he opens up this letter defending his ministry. And as he's defending his ministry, he's really speaking to us as a church. This is what you are to be about. And he defends his ministry because he was sure that his life and his ministry lined up with what God had done through Jesus in his purpose for the church. He was an apostle, a representative, not sent by man, but through the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. And so when he opens the letter with grace and peace to you, that wasn't just kind of the normal thing of the day. It was more the shorthand for the gospel, grace and peace to you. It was kind of shorthand for the essence of the gospel, referring first to its cause, grace, and then to its effect, peace. Grace and peace to you. Paul then goes on to speak to the purpose that Jesus had. He gave himself for our sins. Following God's will then, Jesus did this so that he might rescue us. Do you know that you need to be rescued today? Or if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, do you remember the time when you needed to be rescued? Man, I do. I do. And so Paul is talking about that Jesus came to rescue us. And so it was Paul's purpose, and it is to be our purpose, to proclaim the gospel. We need to understand God's purpose for the church. If my memory serves me correctly, it was sometime after T. Boone Pickens tried to take over Phillips 66 that a book was written about Frank Phillips. We were living in that part of the world at the time. I think when the hostile takeover was being done, we were actually still in Broken Arrow, which is a suburb of Tulsa. But it wasn't very much longer after that that we moved to Broken Arrow, to Bartlesville, the corporate headquarters for Phillips 66. And I think it was after that attempted takeover, because the end of the book, after the author talks about what all Frank Phillips did and this, that, and the other, right at the end of the book, he said T. Boone Pickens would have been no match for Frank Phillips. But Pickens tried to take over the company, a hostile takeover, because one of the presidents of the company, after Frank Phillips, decided that what Phillips needed to do was get into transportation, specifically ocean container shipping. And they poured money into it, and money into it, and money into it, and it all just about busted the company. And so that's why Pickens thought that he could take them out. You see, Phillips, as a company, had gotten sidetracked from what they were to be about. You've bought gas at Phillips, out of Phillips 66. Frank Phillips was an oil man, and Phillips 66 was an oil company. So why in the world were they doing all this other stuff? They were doing stuff as a company. They were doing endeavors that did not contribute to the success of them fulfilling their purpose. Well, can a church get sidetracked from its purpose? Are you taking a breath? Our purpose is to be the hands and feet and skin of rescuing people from their sin by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We are to be Jesus with skin on, so that when people see our lives, they see what a life changed by Christ looks like. Not that we're to be perfect, not that I'm trying to say that you got to be perfect, but if you don't live as a redeemed person, if you don't live as a regenerated person, then do you really know Jesus? Do you really know Jesus? We are to be about proclaiming the gospel. We are to be about proclaiming grace and peace to this community, this area, even to the whole world. I was talking with a pastor brother the other day, and he talked about churches he knew who thought that unlocking the doors was evangelism. It's not. Now, unlocking the doors is important enough. But if you think that just because we keep the lights on and the doors unlocked at various times that we're doing evangelism, then we're mistaken. We are to be the hands and feet, the skin, of going out into this community, out into this area, all across the world, proclaiming the gospel. Are we what God intends for us to be as a church? We need to understand our purpose. We need to understand our design. Understanding God's design continues with understanding His means of rescuing people. His means of rescuing people is the gospel message, a message of grace, not works, a message of receiving and not earning. God's plan was for us to know Him, to glorify Him, and enjoy Him forever. And man had, though, a choice, and man said, you know what, I know better than he does, just because he created all the world, just because he spoke it all into existence. He really doesn't know what he's doing, so I need to do what I need to do. That's pretty theologically sound, don't you think? Don't you think Adam pretty much said that? And so when we chose to rebel, there became a divide, a gulf, a distance. Jesus came to bridge that distance. So God sent His Son to die the death that you and I deserve. He raised Jesus from the grave, defeating death and breaking the power of sin. And so for us to be a part of God's redemption, admission of sin and repentance from it are necessary. Paul, as God's first missionary to the Gentiles, had proclaimed this message. He had traveled around most of what we know as Eastern Europe or the Middle East, proclaiming the gospel, proclaiming this truth that we don't have to earn our way into heaven, that God gives it to us. We don't have to earn it because we can't. So it's a good thing that he's willing to give it to us. And so we need to be about that. And here's this group coming behind him that said, oh, no. Something, there's more. This group came to be known as the Judaizers, and the reason they're called that is they said, oh, you want to accept Christ? That's great, but you need to keep the law. There's something more. And Paul said, oh, no. And so he's writing to the churches in Galatia because he's amazed. They'd heard the message. They'd heard the gospel. And he said, I can't believe that you're deserting this message of grace, the gospel of grace, so quickly. And so he says something pretty strong to him. He says, they're to be accursed. Anybody who says there's something more than the gospel to be saved, to know God, they're to be accursed. The word in the Greek is anathema. And it was strong. It was strong. And so to say it against someone else was extremely serious. But Paul understood how important the gospel message, God's means of rescuing people, is. When you were a kid, did you ever have a little toy that we called Chinese handcuffs? A few of you shaking your head. It's a woven thing. It's a cylinder. You stick a little kid's finger into it. I'd love to do that with some Sunday morning. You stick their fingers into them, and the harder they try to pull them out, the tighter it gets. Well, I looked it up the other day to be sure that I was right. And so according to Wikipedia, the Chinese finger trap is also a common metaphor for a problem that can't be overcome by relaxing. In other words, not trying too hard to solve it. And the gospel message, I would suggest to you, in a sense, is like this. The harder you try to earn favor with God, the farther away you'll be. And the more trapped you are in your sin. But when you relax and let His grace work, you are saved. You are rescued. So when we as a church proclaim His gospel of grace and not works of any kind, people will be saved because His Spirit is at work. I wonder how many churches across America should have anathema written across the front door. Because we have gone away from the message of the gospel. How many churches have made being in right relationship with God about what they do to get into the relationship? Are we as a church one who would say, clean up your act and then come to church? Or would we tell them about the message of grace? We need to be about teaching people about Jesus and watching God change them. Instead of critiquing people about what they wear, what kind of style of music they enjoy, are we what God intends for us to be? We need to understand our purpose. We need to understand our design. Understanding God's design culminates with understanding His intended result. God's means of rescuing people with the gospel message is done primarily with obedient people. I use the word primarily because I know that all of creation speaks to God's glory, and He can use that, but primarily is one believer telling another person how they came to know Christ. The gospel is primarily, generally shared person to person. So as Paul defends his ministry against those who came behind him, we see what is to be our intended result. And he asks a question. Are we trying to seek the favor of people or of God? He asks it another way. Are we trying to please men, people, or are we trying to please God? The purpose of this church and the purpose for you as an individual is to be a God pleaser, joining him in what he is doing to reach people with the gospel. If you watch any football this afternoon, you will see this play. It's called a play action pass. And the reason it's called a play action is the quarterback will get the ball and he'll fake a handoff to a running back, because what the play is designed to do is to make the defense, particularly those covering the receivers, come up to the line of scrimmage because they think it's going to be a run. And so then the receiver gets behind them and the quarterback throws the ball. They get faked out. That's part of what the offensive coach is trying to do. But good defensive backs watch to see where the ball really is. And they stay with what their coach's design for them is. So have we as a church been duped into going after something God does not intend? Are we as a church trying to please God or man? Let me ask that another way. Are we trying to please a segment or generation of people rather than being about reaching everyone with the gospel? Is our problem, and I think Tom Rainer, who was president and CEO of Lifeway, coined this. Do our desires for our preferences outweigh our passion for the gospel? We will as individuals, and we will as a church, have to make a decision about pleasing man or pleasing the Lord. It's interesting. I do believe that political forces will force this. Today in church conference, we're going to take up an issue about same-sex marriage and all that. It's coming. It's coming. We will have to, having gone to the conference on Islam, it's coming. It's coming. I don't know if there are any Muslims within Macon County today, but they're coming. They're coming. Are we going to reach out to them? Are we going to be about sharing the gospel with them? Or are we going to worry about protecting and keeping what we have? So let me ask you, are we building here a church that can stand the test of time? A church that can stand the winds of change in our nation, in our culture? Are we building a church that will bear fruit for the kingdom of God? We need to understand his design. The purpose is that it is about the gospel. Are you committed to Christ? Are you committed to his gospel?